No. I'd like to call this public hearing to order. Everyone please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance and remain standing for a moment of silence.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Everyone can be seated. Victoria, please call the roll. And do the announcements. I'm getting ahead of myself. We're running a little bit late.
Announcements. Fire evacuation plan. Please note that in the event of an emergency, the fire department has requested that legislators and all others move at least one block away from the county office building in order not to impede the firefighters in their duties. Cell phones. Please silence cell phones for the duration of the public hearings. Roll call. Archer.
Present.
Bartels.
Here.
Collins. DeLon.
Here.
Donaldson.
Here.
Eckert.
Here.
Fabiano. Gerentine.
Here.
Green.
Here.
Haynes.
Here.
Heppner.
Here.
Litz.
Here.
Lopez. Mayo.
Here.
Maloney James.
Here.
Maloney Joseph.
Here.
Nolan.
Petit,
here. Roberts, Rodriguez,
present.
Ronk,
here.
Woro,
here.
And Waltman,
here.
19 present, 4 absent. Tonight we're going to start with the public hearing on proposed local law number 11 of 2018, a local law prohibiting conversion therapy upon a minor within Ulster County. And there is one speaker signed up, Matthew Shirka.
Thank you. That's the only speaker signed up. Legislator Litz. Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The public hearing's closed. Call the second public hearing.
This public hearing is on proposed local law number 9 of 2018, a local law to adopt countywide notification requirements for the trapping of free-roaming feral and or stray cats.
How many people are signed up?
37.
Okay. With 37 people signed up, we're going to allot 2 minutes per speaker. Please keep an eye on the timekeeper in the back of the room. We have a digital time clock. Please be respectful of ideas that you do not share. I don't allow booing. I don't allow cheering. We're all here to listen to all sides of the issue. With that, Vicki, please.
The first speaker is Gina Carbonari.
I will not tolerate yelling from the gallery. Please refrain from doing that. The mic is on.
Oh, there we go. Gina Carbonari, Ulster County SPCA. I'm the executive director there. And I do want to emphasize that is the Ulster County SPCA. We are here to serve Ulster County. We serve every day the communities within Ulster County, and we have the only organization that does the humane law within all the county. We are the organization that our police departments go to whenever they have any type of animal welfare issues, cruelty cases, neglect cases. They look to us to be the experts for that. And I just want to emphasize that as I'm speaking, I am representing that organization. And I'm not going to stand here and argue about TNR versus euthanasia tonight in handling community cats, because that's not really what the scope of this legislation is. There's been a lot of discussion online about arguments for TNR, for euthanasia, but that really, in my opinion, is not what this legislation is drafted for. This legislation is designed to protect pet cats, an owner's personal property, that may inadvertently become trapped during any type of trapping operation. This legislation is designed to ensure neighbors are made aware of any and all trapping operations and to therefore keep their cats specifically indoors. It is also designed to ensure if a pet cat is missing during a trapping operation, the owner then knows who to help in order to help locate their pet cat. Trapping for the purpose of TNR or euthanasia in controlling feral cat populations is not the issue here. Ensuring pet cat health and safety and providing every means to ensure the return of someone's property are the issues that are driving this legislation. State law now requires rescues and shelters to scan all intakes within 24 hours to ensure a speedy reunion with owners. The statistics to support that bill included that 38.5% of microchipped cats specifically were reunited with their owners when scanned at intake. Clearly, New York State, both its citizens and legislators, see the value in reuniting pets and owners, and the county legislation being considered tonight does the exact same thing, ensures pets are reunited with their owners. Every step is outlined in a flowchart method to provide safeguards.
Please wrap up your comments.
There is nothing that creates an undue burden on a trapper. No matter which opinion is taken regarding feral cats, both sides argue that a love of cats drives the methodology. The legislation does not favor either. Thank you so much for your time.
I should also say we take written comments as well, so if you're not able to finish all of your thoughts, you can feel free to leave your comments with the clerk, and they'll be added to the record.
Gloria Stevenson.
I want to repeat a point I made in a letter I wrote the legislature in which I urged a no vote on this bill. The sponsor of the bill fails to acknowledge how destructive stray and feral cats can be. They defecate and urinate in flower beds, often get into noisy fights, and kill or maim scores of birds and small mammals. Many homeowners consider these cats a nuisance and don't want them on their property. Yet Section 4C states that after being sterilized and ear-tipped, feral cats should be returned to the site to a site no more than 50 feet from the capture site. What happens to a group of feral cats that someone has been feeding if he or she moves away or dies? What happens when a person who has been feeding ferals becomes overwhelmed, asks the rescue volunteer to remove them, and doesn't want them back? In both these situations and many others, it would be impossible to return them to the capture site. How likely is it that the neighbors would welcome these animals? TNR is also inhumane. When one of our own cats gets sick from a urinary tract infection, intestinal parasites, cancer, and so forth, we take it to the vet and spend whatever is necessary to see that it receives the care it needs. The TNR cats just have to endure the symptoms of their illness. The proposed law doesn't even mandate leukemia and AIDS testing before release. One of the most excruciating deaths a male cat can suffer is a urinary blockage, which happens when a male cat isn't drinking enough water. I hate to think of how many TNR cats die this kind of terrible death. Where can they find water when the temperature is below 30 degrees or during a drought? Do the supporters of TNR remember this past December, day after day of bitter cold? Frostbite, if not treated, can become gangrenous and require amputation. I've tried to understand the people who see TNR as the answer, but their attitude seems to me to be out of sight, out of mind. I think a more accurate term for TNR would be trap, neuter, abandoned to their fate. Thank you.
Richard Feldman, who will be followed by Robert Strong.
I'm Richard Feldman, a cat owner from Shokan and professor of environmental science at Marist College. My background includes public health and the study of and control of invasive species. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recognizes cats as the definitive host for Toxoplasmosis gondii, the disease agent of toxoplasmosis spread via cat feces. The CDC recognizes toxoplasmosis as an important public health problem in the U.S. with at least 1 million cases of infection each year. Recent data estimates toxoplasmosis to be the second leading cause of deaths due to foodborne illness and the fourth leading cause of hospitalizations due to foodborne illness. Livestock and game become infected with contact with contaminated soil and water. White-tailed deer are known to contract toxoplasma where they overlap with cats. Their venison is then a source of toxoplasmosis for people. Human symptoms include retina damage. Infected women can pass the parasite in utero to their embryos. An estimated 400 to 4,000 infants are born with congenital toxoplasmosis each year in the U.S. The FDA cautions pregnant women about exposure to toxoplasma via soil when gardening in areas visited by cats. Untreated toxoplasmosis in children leads to mental retardation and blindness. Toxoplasmosis is also a significant source of wildlife disease and deaths, ranging from songbirds to red fox to moose. Further, dozens of research studies around the world document predation of a wide range of wild vertebrates by domestic cats. The foremost international conservation organization, the IUCN, regards domestic cats as among the world's 100 most significant invasive species. A recent research article summarized the results of more than 2,000 studies indicating that 1.3 to 4 billion birds are killed by domestic cats each year in the U.S.
Please wrap up your comments.
The mortalities occur whether the cats are well-fed or not, as many cat owners know.
Good evening. My name is Robert Strong. I represent Responsible Animal Care USA based in Rensselaer, New York. According to the proposed law, you plan to address the growth of the feral and or stray cat population by TNR activities. TNR programs have existed nationwide for over 20 years, including this Ulster County area, and have only resulted in an increase in abandonment and a greater number of stray feral cats. RAC USA has serious concerns regarding this plan, especially mandating that, quote, no cat with tipped ears shall be retained but must be immediately released at the location where they were found, unquote. Another speaker will point out this is against ag and market laws, under Article 26. Besides, whomever traps a cat with tipped ears has no way of knowing if this cat is current with its inoculations for rabies, etc. Under this proposed law, who will be responsible if any of these cats are rabid and bite someone within the Ulster County area? Cats have tested positive for rabies in New York State. To name a few, in 2017, rabid cats were found in Chautauqua County, Delaware, Oneida, Putnam, and Tompkins counties. Some of these incidents involve cats biting humans and pets. Rabies can be fatal, as all of you know. It is contracted through either a bite from a sick animal or saliva in an open wound. Taking measures to help stop the spread of infectious diseases is critical to ensuring the health and safety of this community. The National Association of State Public Health Veterinarians states, identification and registration/licensing of dogs and cats is critical to an effective rabies control program.
Please wrap up your comments.
Our organization strongly agrees with these recommendations and encourages responsible animal ownership. This includes requiring...
Your time is up.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Liz Wassell, who will be followed by Sue McDonough.
Good evening. My name is Liz Wassell. I'm from Tilson. I'm just going to read the email that I sent to every member of the legislature last night. I first began practicing humane trapping of cats living in outdoor colonies in 1997. I learned how to do this work from other trappers who operated at a high level of integrity. I see the same standards being upheld by the nonprofit trappers I know today in our area. Laura Petit's proposed law clearly addresses the same high standards, which include providing the means for trapped companion animals to be reunited with their owners. This point, among others in Laura's law, reflect established best practices of humane trapping across the country. The law, as written, has three requirements: proper notification of the scheduled trapping operation, a mandatory holding period of microchip cats, and careful record keeping. Again, these three points of the proposed law reflect best practices of humane cat trapping, which I have observed across the state. I support Local Law 9, and I commend Laura Petit for her intention to advance this practice for the benefit of all felines, whether they are companion or feral cats. Thank you so much.
Sue McDonough, followed by Tracy Collins.
Good evening. My name is Sue McDonough. I'm a retired New York State Trooper of 26 years. I was assigned to the Bureau of Criminal Investigation. My field of expertise was investigating animal cruelty, and I trained police officers in that field. The laws pertaining to animal cruelty reside in the Agriculture and Markets Law. According to Article 26 of that law, all dogs and cats are companion animals, whether they are owned, stray, abandoned, or considered feral. The release of cats, as described in your proposal, is illegal under the Agriculture and Market Law, Section 355, which states that any person being the owner or possessor of an animal who abandons such animal is guilty of a misdemeanor. It is illegal also under Section 374, which states that no person shall release a dog or cat from any pound, shelter, SPCA, or humane society for any purpose except adoption or redemption by its owner. In 2015, the governor vetoed a bill that would have allowed funding for TNR programs, stating that they are illegal in accordance with Section 374 in the Agriculture and Markets Law. Allowing TNR implies that cats can thrive outdoors without necessary sustenance, veterinary care, or shelter. Licensing laws are the best solution to protect homeless and unwanted cats and provide funding for shelters. Otherwise, cats risk losing their companion animal status, and they will end up like the cats have in some western states that now classify them as an invasive species and are shooting them. Thank you.
Tracy Collins, followed by Jean Daniels.
This is a statement from Carol Ryan, who couldn't be here this evening. I am a resident of Ulster County in the town of Denning and am writing in opposition to proposed local law number 9. From 2000 to 2013, I was the public health director for Sullivan County, where rabies has been a problem for some time. In fact, cats are 7 times more likely to contract rabies than dogs. And feral or stray cats are very susceptible to a variety of diseases that can be caught by humans, including toxoplasmosis. As a public health official for many years who earned a master's in public health, I am concerned that what you see is a possible solution to a growing problem, that of feral cat colonies, may actually exacerbate the problem. Like we did with dogs when rabies became an endemic problem, we need to license all cats, require rabies vaccinations, and not allow cats to live in the wild. Cats deserve to receive care and have homes. I'm a huge animal lover and a fan of anyone who devotes their lives to maintaining rescue shelters and caring for animals that otherwise would be freezing outside in the winter or risk being mauled or eaten by coyotes or other wild animals. Instead of TNR, I suggest passing cat licensing legislation, requiring rabies vaccines for all cats, and mandating countywide animal control, not just dog control. Sincerely, Carol Ryan. Thank you.
Jean Daniels.
Good evening. I'm Jean Daniels, representing the board of the New York State Humane Association, which strongly opposes proposed local law number 9. This legislation purports to address the feral and stray cat problem in the county, but will only serve to exacerbate it. Not only does the proposed law ignore the cruelty inherent in the lives of cats who have been TNR'd, but also disregards the rights of residents. As a humane organization, NYSHA's concern is to reduce animal suffering and to prevent it when possible. TNR programs, by their very nature, impose cruelties on stray and feral cats by releasing and abandoning them outdoors. While the cruelty inflicted on the animals is most troubling, the aspects of the law that trample on the rights of an individual and the property rights of thousands is disturbing as well and invites the possibility of lawsuits. Such litigation could arise from 2 issues. As reported in the Daily Freeman, the proposed law signals that its intended purpose is to stop Project Cat from humanely trapping and permanently removing feral cats from the properties of citizens who requested its help. A county law created solely to restrict the legal activities of an organization could be considered discriminatory and thus be found to be illegal. The second could develop from property owners who want feral cats removed from their properties, but would be precluded from doing so, as the law states the TNR'd cats shall be returned and released within 50 feet of where they were trapped. Should such a feral cat subsequently hurt someone, property owners could sue not only the TNR group that returned the animal, but also the county that passed a law that disregarded the rights of property owners, thus creating a potentially dangerous situation. In a similar case that has already occurred in New York State, a court found a store owner could be found liable for personal injuries caused by a stray cat that had taken up residence on his property.
Please wrap up your comments.
And was being fed by employees. So for all these reasons and their serious implications, both for the animals and the citizens, this bill should not be passed. Thank you.
John Sheeb, followed by Gail Mahatchke.
My name is John Scheib, and I want to just state that I'm in full agreement that it's our duty to protect all cats, whether owned, feral, or stray. But under Ag and Markets Law, Section 350, a cat is a domesticated companion animal. This basic tenet of New York State law should be the first and foremost consideration when determining a community-wide response to the feral cat population crisis. Cats are domestic animals with the same legal status as dogs. Cats are not wild animals and can fend for themselves. Legally speaking, trap, neuter, release is against the law. Governor Cuomo recognized this in his 2015 veto of Assembly Bill 2778. The governor acknowledged that releasing or returning a cat into the wild is a misdemeanor offense. In addition, who is liable for released cats that cause property damage or injury via bite or scratch or car accidents? Who's responsible for tending to the injured and sick cats that need medical care? Another instance in which this proposed legislation violates New York State law is by allowing only a licensed veterinarian to euthanize a cat trapped in a TNR operation. New York State Ag and Markets 374 states, euthanasia of these animals shall be by a certified euthanasia technician, veterinarian, or licensed veterinary technician. Basically, what we think is to combat the cat overpopulation crisis, we need to raise the level of care and responsibility for these domesticated animals to the same level now enjoyed by dogs. We do not allow dogs to run loose, and it should also be unacceptable for cats. Instead, we should move forward towards licensing while encouraging responsible pet ownership, including microchipping, sterilization, vaccinations, and containment. Licensing is the best option to ensure protection for cats and to provide the needed funding for animal shelters. Thank you.
Hi. Oh, I reached the microphone. Okay. I'm Gail Mahochko. I am director of Project Cat. I founded Project Cat about 16 years ago because of my deep affection for cats and concern for their well-being as well as all other organisms. It's quite obvious that this proposal was created specifically to address the many unfounded and cruel accusations circulating about me for about the past 2 years, mostly by people who disagree with our policies and want to further their agenda of the trap, neuter, release, or TNR community. Rumors lead some to believe that I surreptitiously search neighborhoods for outdoor cats to trap and remove. This is blatantly false. While Project Cat advocates for indoor-only cats, we neither intentionally nor unintentionally take beloved pet cats. The majority of the cats we take in are either owner-surrendered or from properties owned by the surrenderers. Consider these common situations that we experience in which even TNR is not an option. A tenant gets evicted and opens the door to release 20 unsterilized cats onto the landlord's property. A family member intervenes when it's discovered that 60 cats have been breeding outdoors and they can no longer be fed or provided medical care. The deck is saturated with urine and feces. A grocery store has breeding feral cats in the parking lot, and they do not want them back. We won't hesitate, even on a Saturday evening, to take in an abandoned cat mauled by a dog, or respond to a yowling, stumbling feral cat, and if necessary, have it tested for rabies. We care about and assess each and every cat that comes our way to make the best decision with the resources available for the kindest outcome. Abandonment via TNR is not an option in any scenario. And I even extend an invitation to any of the legislators to come to our shelter and visit and find out more about us. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Barbara Fornell, followed by Arlene Berhans.
Good evening. My name is Barbara Fornell, and I live in Accord, New York, in the town of Rochester in Ulster County. I was an elementary school teacher in the Marble Central School District for 35 years, and upon retiring 11 years ago, I started to volunteer at a no-kill cat shelter in Accord, and I have volunteered for 10 years. I became very aware of all the trials and tribulations along with the diseases like FIV, leukemia, AIDS, upper respiratory infections, and the new tick-borne disease that cats face and those like rabies and toxoplasmosis that can be a public health threat, and all the emotional toll on both cats and humans that free-roaming cats problem poses. I also discovered, however, everyone had their own idea how to solve the problem. 11 years later, this problem still exists. So I am glad that this is finally getting attention at this level. Thank you. Since there are no cat laws for cats and dogs, like dogs, nor an animal control officer at a local level, the state ag market law 375, parentheses 5, 355 states that TNR is illegal and a misdemeanor. Therefore, the proposed local law number 9 is illegal unto itself. However, this does not preclude its contents to attempt to address the growth of the feral and stray cat population as a public service. That is commendable. Since cat owners are not legally held lawfully responsible, ag and market law states that a companion animal, be it a cat or a dog, is one that is kept inside or near the home. And that means if outside, on a leash, or for a cat, would be a cage. Individual citizens now have either privately or through shelters or rescue organizations or the Ulster County SPCA are being called to seek a solution to this problem, each having their own philosophy and way of doing business. Very frustrating. After spending the last 2 weeks reaching out to those doing this work, visiting shelters, I discovered that some of them are doing TNR. Some of them are trap and neutering and adopting. Some are trap, neutering, and fostering. Some are hoarding. Some elderly are using their Social Security payments. Some are doing colony care. Some are trapping and euthanizing. Complaints are that people's chipped and cared pets are
getting caught. Please wrap up your comments.
And the euthanizing process. Unfortunately, there are less of these people spaying and neutering as the SPCA cannot afford their costs. I suggest that the... I'm skipping. I suggest that
your time is up.
I will submit this. Thank you.
I can say TNR works. My experience began when an abandoned cat, pregnant cat, when a cat was pregnant and abandoned in my neighborhood. We cared for them, we tried to seek help, but they only offered to come, remove, and destroy them. We all agreed that was not an answer. That would have been devastating. I learned of an organization years later called Woodstock Feral Cat Project, and Kim Kelly educated me and helped me trap, neuter, and return every last one. She homed the kittens and some of the adults. My neighbors and I are so grateful for the success and results of this TNR program. TNR is a humane approach to manage the population and has stopped the breeding cycle. It has been several years and not one kitten has been born since. The cats are content, healthier, and there are no more fights. When kind-hearted people becoming involved in a humane way for the purpose of helping, homes are found and others are cared for who otherwise would not have been. They deserve our compassion. TNR does work. Thank you.
Kim Kelly, followed by Jerry Ritchie.
Good evening. My name is Kim Kelly. I've been doing successful TNR rescue and rehoming of free-roaming cats since 2004. It began as a Girl Scout Bronze Award project. As the troop leader, I coordinated with the late, well-known Marie Post, who directed and so generously gave financial support to cover TNR, vetting, and rehoming costs. Let's fast forward 14 years later, and we still haven't seen the magnitude of the need for mandated laws to control the growing numbers of abandoned felines. Let's not lose sight of what this proposed law is about. It's not about any one entity, organization, person, or individual. It is about protecting the warm-blooded living mammals that we, humans, have so irresponsibly allowed such disregard to life. We must rise up to be their voice. Laws are created and needed for unity, for the betterment of all, for the utmost moral perspective possible. What if everyone just did whatever they wanted? What they believed was right without any ramifications? Let me put it into better perspective. You come home from working a long day to find your young daughter's cat somehow escaped the safety and comfort of the only home it's ever known since you brought it home as a kitten. For a birthday gift for your child for some years previously, you're tired and you hope that Marvin will just show up at the door cold and hungry in the morning, but that doesn't happen. So you leave for work and you decide that you'll knock on some doors after work. Marvin isn't waiting when you come home. After knocking on a few doors, you're informed that someone was in the area hauling cats and traps to their car and leaving. You suddenly glance at the countertop and you realize that Marvin slipped out of his quick-release collar just a few days before. But you hope it's okay because he's microchipped, registered, and up-to-date on all his vaccines. After many hours of frantic phone calls and a crying child that just wants their beloved Marvin back, you locate the trapper organization or person that was in your area. You hold your breath while the phone rings, and the person on the other end tells you it's too late. The cat was dead in less than 48 hours. I'm going to fast forward. So pause, think for about it. How would you feel if that happened to your family, your pet? It's time to create, instill, and enforce laws that
please
afford cats similar rights like dog has. How many more Marvins will there be before we finally decide it's time to do something, a humane something?
Jerry Ritchie.
Good evening. My name is Jerry Ritchie. I'm a resident of Highland, and I'm a retired public school teacher who has been involved in the animal welfare movement for the past 20 years, beginning with 10 years as a volunteer at the Ulster County SPCA, including serving on its board of directors for 9 years, where I chaired the Humane Education Committee. I have been a supporter and volunteer of Project Cat for several years, and for the past 4 years, I have volunteered my time cleaning the shelter and socializing cats. Project Cat is an impeccable shelter where cats live safely and comfortably until they are adopted. Executive Director Gail Mahochko runs the organization with the utmost professionalism, compassion, and integrity. She receives countless calls from people who ask for her help with cats, oftentimes after they have exhausted their options by calling other agencies that either don't return their calls or decline to help. The homeless cat situation is overwhelming. There are thousands upon thousands of needy cats in our county, and sadly, many of them will never receive help. Gail and Project Cat provide a much-needed service to the cats and the people in our community, and I am happy to be a small part of the good work that she does. In conclusion, I think that the proposed law we are discussing tonight is unfeasible and cumbersome, and more importantly, it will impede the efforts of organizations like Project Cat from helping vulnerable, needy cats. The county needs to adopt a more practical, effective way of solving the problem by creating laws for cats like there are for dogs, one that includes licensing and ordinances that will demand more responsible behavior of cat owners. Thank you very much for your time.
Raina Clark, followed by Leslie Lansing.
Hello. I'm a resident of Ulster County and a homeowner here in Kingston, and I'm here to voice my strong opposition to proposed local law number 9. I'm firmly opposed to the promotion of the feral cat colonies that result from trap-neuter release programs, which are being promoted by this law up for consideration. I'm also dismayed to see that my county legislature is considering a law that would contradict state law. Releasing feral cats is considered a legal abandonment of a domestic animal under the New York Agriculture and Markets Law 3745. I have seen firsthand the sad consequences of allowing cats to roam freely. Often these cats end up gravely injured or infected with debilitating diseases that can also infect humans. I'm also want to reiterate the concerns of other speakers about property damage and legal liability, and who would take responsibility for these cats if they injure someone or destroy property. Thank you so much.
Good evening. I must preface everything I read with the fact that I am a cat lover. I currently own 3 rescue cats, one which was feral. I know that a responsible cat owner does not allow their cats to roam freely through the neighborhood. They are kept indoors. We have spent considerable time, money, and effort to establish gardens that encourage wildlife to our home. Free-roaming cats and feral cats, however, have become a bane to our home, defecating in our gardens, ruining shrubs with repeated spraying, killing rabbits, and tormenting our own cats by sitting on the windowsills. Our cats have ripped through the screening in their frustration. Our yard is fenced, and I have observed them scaling the fence with baby rabbits in their mouths and continually find the remains of birds. Supporters of TNR state this practice works to reduce feral colonies. So, while they wait for TNR to reduce the feral population, the cats continue to annihilate wildlife. I asked the TNR supporters, why is it okay to have wildlife killed and maimed by cats, but not okay to humanely euthanize the feral cat that cannot be rehomed? In my opinion, TNR supporters contradict themselves, professing a desire to save cats, but no interest in preserving wildlife. The American Bird Conservancy has indicated that the now numbering 100 million outdoor cats in the United States kill approximately 2.4 billion birds, resulting in declining species. If you do a web search for Australia and New Zealand feral cats, you will see that both countries are taking extreme measures to save their native wildlife. Instead of supporting Local Law 9, a law should be passed to ban the return of feral cats to the wild and to establish regulations regarding domestic cats. Cats are not a native creature of nature and should not be allowed to live out their lives causing destructive to native wildlife. My last point, Ulster County promotes itself as a place for tourism, and some of that business is generated by the wildlife experience. How can you support feral cats?
Thank you.
Andrea Latosha, followed by Annie Martinet. Annie Martinet.
I hope you can hear me.
Yes.
I live in Rosendale. I'm a federally and state licensed wildlife rehabilitator. I do not make a dime by doing this. I've been doing wild bird rescue and rehab specifically for the last almost 15 years. I generally get about 300 or more birds and other things every year, release about 65% back to the wild. That's the main goal. The other goal is to limit or end their suffering, and if I can't get them to a point where they can live on their own in the wild, I have to, by law, humanely euthanize them. I just want to point, most of the points I wanted to make have already been stated. Wild birds are protected in the United States and across most of the world. There is something called the Migratory Bird Treaty that is over 100 years old. So it is a federal misdemeanor to purposely injure or kill most wild birds, except for a couple invasive species. And it makes me wonder when people bring me cat-mangled birds, and it makes them feel better that they're doing something. And I'm thinking, well, what if I just called U.S. Fish and Wildlife right now and said, hey, here's a federal misdemeanor in action. This is a federal thing. I'm not making it up. Outside cats are feral, and feral cats have directly caused the extinction of at least 35 species of birds across the world, and it's going up. If you have plans to go birding in Hawaii, Australia, or New Zealand, do it fast. The birds are disappearing. Others have pointed out outside cats of any kind are not part of our native environment anywhere in the world, ever, across time. They are domestic animals. They are an invasive species. Not all animals are equal in value. I know this is a really hard thing for people who support TNR. I value native wildlife, and in some cases, humane euthanasia of invasive species is the right way to go. And I fully support Project Cat for coming to the rescue more than
once.
Please
wrap up your comments.
When people call me about cats, because the SPCA will not help them. Thank you.
Jean Jacobs, followed by Lisa McEwen.
evening. My name is Jean Jacobs. I am a lifelong resident in the city of Kingston. Most of you know me, and many also know me as the Cat Lady in the city of Kingston. I have worked for many, many years with Marie Post, and I was a volunteer in rescuing hundreds of cats and kittens throughout my city and county. I support this law because of the fact that we do not have a cat control program within the county or the city or elsewhere. There used to be a cat program when Marie Post was here, and she was the cat warden. You cannot not have policies and procedures. You have to have standards of compliance and a law that regulates this process. You cannot just have people out trapped. You must, as Gina Carbonari from the Ulster County SPCA, it's not necessarily all about trap TNR. It's about regulating the cat population. We must start somewhere, ladies and gentlemen, because we're nowhere right now. And we can make laws locally, despite the fact that the state has laws. I've read up on it, and absolutely we can garner and put forth our own laws here. I'm the former Cat Task Force Advisory Chairman for the City of Kingston. We worked diligently in creating a 68-page report under the administration of James Sotile. So there are people such as myself and many others here in the room tonight not defeating what is going on and attacking. You do not attack with the negative. You attack with the positive, and you show the people the real need out here in our community is to create and support this law. Thank you very much.
Hi, good evening. Lisa McEwen. I am in full support of proposed local law number 9. Some towns in Ulster have used the catch-and-kill method to exterminate cats in the past and have paid a local organization to do so. This obviously hasn't worked and has wasted taxpayer money using an inhumane method of population control. In this county, people's pets have been trapped and killed. This proposed law will protect pet owners and their innocent pets. The law will require a mandatory holding period to allow time for owners and trappers to safely get owned pets back to their homes. Most importantly, this law will require that only a licensed veterinarian can euthanize an animal. The animal has to be deemed so unhealthy, diseased, or maimed that humane euthanasia is the only option. Currently, healthy animals are being euthanized without any type of appropriate medical evaluation done by a licensed veterinarian. A local civilian should not be able to diagnose illness and be able to euthanize any animal, let alone healthy ones, for the sole purpose of their own self-fulfilling agenda. You are going to hear opponents tonight talk about toxoplasmosis and rabies, especially from PETA, NYSHA, and Cornell ornithologists. However, they don't give the whole truth. The biggest risk of contracting toxoplasmosis is from unwashed fruit and vegetables and raw or undercooked meat, not from cats. They will also speak about spreading rabies. However, rabies is often misguidedly used to justify the continued use of Roundups of feral stray cats, which has resulted in decades of a catch-and-kill scheme. There has not been a single case of a human contracting rabies from a cat in the past 40 years in the United States. This county needs to adopt a humane method in dealing with cat overpopulation. This trapping law will encourage proper practice and appropriate guidelines or regulations for everyone that traps in this county. That's what this law is about.
Lee Isaacs, followed by Janet Levinson.
Good evening. I want to congratulate this body on their wonderful ability to reinvent the wheel. Quite a few years ago, I'm so glad Jean Jacobs is here because she remembers. We had a problem in Kingston. One of our aldermen at the time was having a problem with cats messing up his property. He put forth a law, a proposed law. The mayor made a feral cat task force. Jean Jacobs was the chairperson. I was one of the members. As she just said, we made a 68-page report. The aldermen moved and the cats are still there. One of the provisions of this law is contradictory to state law. No, I'm not coming up with agriculture and markets. I'm coming up with the state conservation law, New York Consolidated Laws, Environmental Conservation Law, ENV Section 110529 says that any person over the age of 21 years possessing a hunting license may, and environmental conservation officers and peace officers acting pursuant to their special duties or police officers, shall humanely destroy cats at large found hunting or killing any protected wild bird or with a dead bird of a protected species in its possession. And that does not mean a veterinary. That means a cop or me, because I have a hunting license. The protected list of birds is rather extensive. It's everything except English sparrows, starlings, grackles, and something else, maybe blue jays. But we had a real problem at the Hodge House in Kingston with feral cats.
Please step up your comments, please.
Okie dokers. I'll send you the rest of it in a letter. Manuscript, right?
I'll try to just make this short and sweet. I care for feral cats. I have two shelters on my porch. And honestly, I live paycheck to paycheck, and three-quarters of my paycheck goes to buying cat food, dry food, wet food for them. I opened up my garage. I bought bales of hay to keep them warm. I give them water. They manage fine over the winter, and honestly, I'm not going to stop feeding them or caring for them. And with due respect to Project Cat, you say you don't come into neighborhoods. Well,
please don't address individual people. Please keep your comments to the
legislature. Well, long story short, one of my cats got out of my house about 2 years ago, and unfortunately he slipped out of his collar. And I was walking up and down my street for 2 weeks calling him and calling him and calling him, and one of my neighbors came over and said that some lady from out of town came into my neighborhood and set traps, and she said she took a bunch of feral cats, and I'm sure that your cat was one of them. So my cat, I believe, got exposed of. So that's about it.
Stephen Hagopian, followed by Kim Lettuce.
Good evening. I'm here to speak upon the law, the part that pertains to the areas that if a feral cat is captured, neutered, and brought back to within 50 feet of that property where it was found, this would be considered, it could be considered a county taking if those cats are protected. You can't, if you have to bring them back and they can't be removed from that spot, the county would be then required to have to do an eminent domain taking of this land, because this law would be saying that you don't get the full beneficial rights of your land. So with that, there's also a potential lawsuit against the county if these feral cat colonies are left there and they cause damage to someone else's property, they could be included in a private nuisance petition, because there's only five things that it would need to be for action to be prevailed on in private nuisance, which is interference, substantial in nature, which a cat could damage someone's property, intentional in origin, if you're saying that they have to stay there, that would be intentional, unreasonable in the character of what damage would happen, with a person's property rights and to use and enjoy their land, which you're not allowed to take them from it, and caused by another's conduct, which would be not the property owner that would be getting damaged. The county is required to follow certain rules to pass this law that they're given by New York State by the way of home rule. And to be inconsistent with state law is specifically mentioned in the home rule rules, which it says it expressly provides that a local government shall not be deemed authorized to adopt a local law which supersedes a state statute relating to subjects set forth therein. So if this law either gives rights...
Please interrupt your comments.
Yes, I will. If it either gives rights that the state doesn't allow or it takes rights that the state allow, it would be in conflict. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Kim Letus. I'm an advocate of this law. I'm a lover, an advocate for feral cats. I served on the City of Kingston Cat Task Force, which unfortunately was short-lived due to a change in administration. Over the years, I've employed TNR to control the population of feral cats. I've also adopted especially tame feral cats and kittens out. I've bought three traps to get started, specifically tackling large communities in Hurley and Sorgatys, plus a number of smaller colonies over the years, with the help of Marie Post and the Animal Emergency Fund. TNR works, and after a few years of the cats not reproducing, the feral communities diminish. Additionally, young feral kittens can be domesticated quite easily. I have five cats, all of which started out as feral kittens. All are loving, healthy, and well-behaved. They seem grateful that they were saved. It literally can take only a few days for a feral kitten to adjust to life inside. Many feral colonies have caretakers like the lady that spoke before, animal lovers who live nearby and feed and create shelters for the animal. The animal is less likely to prey on wildlife if it's cared for by a caretaker. The feral cat overpopulation was caused by the selfish and irresponsible behavior of people. These innocent creatures do not deserve to be abandoned and systematically eliminated. I'm not a starry-eyed, unrealistic animal fanatic. I understand that some animals are sick and euthanasia is sometimes appropriate. However, I believe only a veterinarian should be qualified to make that determination. It's up to us as responsible and compassionate people to acknowledge this and address the issue of feral cats humanely. Thank you.
Dee Fanning, followed by Jody Lemley. Dee Fanning? Nope. Jody Lomely? Lemley?
Hello, everyone. First, I want to make a couple things clear here. The agriculture markets law defines companion animal as any cat or dog and does not distinguish between feral, stray, owned, or abandoned. And when referring to this law, neither should you. Okay, also regarding this mentioned agriculture markets law 374.5, which bars release of animals, is specific to Humane Association, SPCA, Dog Protective Associations, municipal pounds, and shelters. It does not address animal welfare organizations, animal rescues, and or any other similar such organizations. They're not addressed and therefore exempt. And that is what allows many municipalities across the state to continue to practice TR, is because it's not illegal. The law, the proposal here seeks to codify and strengthen the existing laws, rules, and regulations of the agriculture and markets law. Also, I'd like to remind everyone here about the Animal Abuse Prevention Initiative created by County Executive Hine, which includes humane feral cat program, and I quote, to reduce the exposure of either rabies and other serious disease through trap, neuter, return, TNR, approach to reduce the growth of the feral cat population. It's there already. As lawmakers, it is your responsibility to speak for those without a voice and to protect the defenseless. I support this bill, and I implore you all to strengthen your commitment to the companion animals, take the next step, build upon the current feral cat spay-neuter program, and vote yes to implement this local law that protects our companion animals, our pets, and the people that care for them. Thank you.
Howard Ball, followed by Dr. Laura Stein.
Good evening, members of the legislature, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Howard Ball. I live in Kerhonkson. I've heard a couple speakers say that this proposed law is not about TNR, but TNR is included in the law, so I don't know how you can make the statement that it's not about TNR. I'm here to speak tonight in absolute opposition to proposed law number 9. We currently have a feral cat population in my small neighborhood that ranges between 5 and 15 cats at any given time. At one time, this population easily exceeded 40 cats. Over the years, through a variety of efforts of my neighbors and I, we have fortunately been able to keep that number down to the lower, but still very unacceptable numbers we have today. In more recent years, trapping and euthanasia has been the more humane method of elimination in my neighborhood, quite honestly. Many years ago, I personally shot one of these cats that was going after one of my kids. In addition to the myriad of health risks to our families and pets, the damage these cats are and were doing to our neighborhood include damaging and scratching vehicles, defecating in our children's play areas, taking up shelter under porches with the impossible task of removing the cat urine smell from our living spaces, tearing out insulation and damaging our homes, damaging gardens and lawns, antagonizing our pets, and the list goes on and on. While I oppose this proposed law, I also unfortunately recognize that this legislature may choose the well-being of these menacing cats over protecting the health and property of its constituency. With this unfortunate reality facing us now, absent trapping and humane elimination, people will, without a doubt, resort to poisoning and shooting these cats. This will result in slow, painful deaths and dead cat carcasses scattering our neighborhoods. For the better part of 20 years, I have had dogs. Pursuant to the law, I'm required to license my dogs annually.
Please wrap up your comments.
I vehemently urge you to vote against this proposed law and put the health and property of our constituency over feral cats and or irresponsible cat owners. If you don't have the ability to do that, at a minimum, include mandatory licensing and tags and collars and containment of these cats. Thank you.
Dr. Laura Stein.
Hello, everyone. As a licensed veterinarian practicing in New York State for 30 years, I just wanted to speak in favor of this proposed law, specifically Section 4F. Only a licensed veterinarian can euthanize a cat captured in a TNR operation. Euthanasia means a good death. I fully support the concept of euthanasia, and I'm often called on to help an animal in need. I find it reprehensible that persons with a certificate of euthanasia after a brief weekend course, people who get paid per cat that they trap and kill, people who are trapping and killing cats by administering ketamine, which is a dissociative anesthetic, via intramuscular stick, which means they're taking the cat, holding it upside down in a trap, sticking it with some ketamine, which unfortunately is not only painful, but often has the opposite effect of sedative. Sometimes cats get a little bit bonkers when that's administered. I find it unacceptable that that is going on in this country. Euthanasia means peaceful death. I know this is an emotionally charged concept, and I just find it unacceptable that existing laws or lack of appropriate legislation allows this to continue in Ulster County. Thank you.
Terrence Ward, followed by Susan Kaplan.
Hello, my name is Terrence Ward, and I'm from New Paltz, and I wanted to precede my my prepared comments by saying that this law was my idea. I drafted it for the village of New Paltz, and it was months later that I found out about Project Cat. I support this bill. What's being asked for here is that cat owners be given the same courtesy as car owners. If my car is towed, there are laws to ensure I know who took it and where. That isn't the case for cats. Down the hill from my house, behind an apartment complex, there is a cat colony. One of my own rescued cats, Peregrine, likes to visit it, and one day he was lured into a trap during a rescue operation. As luck would have it, he'd recently ditched his collar again. The only reason I found out what had happened to him is because the wrong person answered the phone at the apartment complex that day, and he knew someone who knew something. By the time I located Peregrine, he was in New Jersey. I have no idea where he might have been released, ultimately. Good work does not have to be paid for with broken hearts. Just as the County Animal Abuse Registry protects those without a voice, so too would a rescuer registry. Thank you.
Susan Kaplan, followed by Gail Goodman.
Hi, my name is Susan Kaplan. I have worked at several animal hospitals, the Humane Society. I am a colony caretaker for a feral colony. And before I say anything, I want to say that in a perfect world, all cats and dogs would be spayed and neutered. They would all have loving homes. They would not be outdoors or allowed to be outdoors to be killed by predators or to kill wildlife, which I also love. And, you know, the laws that we would like to see on the books as far as legislating and making sure everything is licensed and vaccinated, that would be the ideal. What we're talking about here, though, is a first step towards these kind of goals where all animals are well taken care of and well loved. Feral cats did not ask to be domesticated and indiscriminately allowed to breed. Humans are responsible for that. We have the hubris to just allow that. If everybody spayed and neutered and had their pets microchipped, it would make everything a lot easier. Trap, neuter, and return does reduce colonies, and often in less than a year. The colonies that I work for, we have successfully placed a number of the kittens and even some of the older cats. We take them to veterinarians when they are sick, as we currently have one now, who we are trying to rehabilitate, who knows that we are trying to help her. She will not be returned to the colony if she survives. Over the years, I have seen how many people have adopted pets who have started out as friendly strays or ferals who have successfully transitioned to indoor life, so I know that it can be done. And I've also seen how TNR across the country does work. It doesn't mean that we consider this their ideal. No, I would like to see all cats healthy living indoors, but that's not our current reality. So regardless of your feeling for or against euthanasia, I think this is a first step in making sure that we take care of all of these creatures who did not ask to be allowed to roam and be abandoned and dumped indiscriminately. Thank you.
Rachel McChrystal.
Hi. My name is Rachel McChrystal. I'm the executive director at Woodstock Farm Sanctuary down in High Falls, and I'm a Kingston resident. And I've actually, over the last decade, worked with a variety of national organizations, specifically on companion cat issues and local TNR. But today I'm going to read a brief statement just on behalf of Woodstock Farm Sanctuary, as we are an organization based here in Ulster County. This legislation would accomplish so much and cost so little. It would protect people from the tragic, yet currently, as we've heard, very real possibility that their companion animals could be lost forever or even killed. It would protect companion animals. It would maintain a level of decency and humanity in our communities that reflects the values of Ulster County by preventing the indiscriminate, gratuitous killing of healthy, feral cats at the hands of unlicensed amateurs. And it would serve to humanely lower the feral cat population. The notion that trap, neuter, return, or trap, neuter, release is TNR is ineffective is untrue. The plant is in well-executed and well-managed and well-tracked TNR projects are proven to lower feral populations by 66%, according to the peer-reviewed Journal of the American Veterinary Medical Association. It might be cheaper in terms of direct short-term expenses to engage in the wholesale slaughter by syringe of felines, whose presence as domesticated animals is by definition our responsibility, but such cruelty comes with a cost to communities that prize decency and accountability. We trust in Ulster County's elected officials to represent such deeply held values and pass Local 9, Number 9. Local Law Number 9. Thank you so much.
Jolie Dunham, followed by Jill Spiro.
Hi, I'm Jolie Dunham. I'm a resident of Ulster County. TNR to not TNR, what to do? And I wouldn't want to be in your shoes except to say that I'm not part of any organization, although in the past in my life I have done TNR in apartment complexes where I've lived in very different states and rescued many. I'm almost afraid to go home to my former feral cats from some of the things I've heard here tonight because it's so dramatic. Try to go to the middle. I talk to my neighbors. I live in Lake Katrine. I was up and down the street. I have a lot of cat lovers in Lake Katrine, and they're terrified of the thought of someone trapping their pet and that animal never being seen again. There's no downside to the notification aspect in this law, and I wholly support it. We have a right as pet owners. I had a cat that got out of my house last June. And my neighbor who actually helped me trap him was here earlier. And I was terrified because I know about this organization. I know someone who lost their cat due to an organization that put it in a trap and they never saw it again. And my guy, Buddy, was feral when I first got him. And he's been with me now for 8 years. I was terrified. It took me 6 months to trap him and get him back. But I was trapping him, and there's no downside to this law. If they're going to do TNR or if they're rescue, there's a notification. We deserve at least that much for our pets. They're always going to be stray animals, and it sounds to me, in closing, the one last thing I'd like to say, I know the SPCA is overwhelmed, but wouldn't it be great to have that mobile unit that goes around here, but much less expensive going up and down the streets where people can get their pets done for $10, you would have a lot less stray animals in the world if that were the case. That would be a great step to take. But please, support this law for the notification of trappers. Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. I'm a little unprepared. I didn't think I could make tonight, so please forgive me. I would like to say that, first of all, I have a TNR facility in my company in New York City. Since 2001, we have spayed and neutered over 14,000 cats successfully with one euthanasia. I'm a little bit amazed by some of what I heard. Governor Cuomo literally wrote a letter defending one of our colonies when people were taking it upon themselves to cause harm. And he himself wrote a letter saying that he would personally prosecute if
he found out who the person was. Project Cat began in my house, Gail and I. It was there for about 5 years. All we did was TNR. My ex is a vet. He'd come up. He'd volunteer for the day. We'd do about 30 spay-neuters for years. Toward the end, when I asked Gail to leave, it was because she took the direction of starting to put cats down that were adoptable, cats that I had homes for, that people wanted, quality homes, but Gail chose to put them down regardless. People talk about toxoplasmosis. How many of these cats were tested that we know they had toxoplasmosis? I bet none. You want to talk about disease? I had neurological Lyme that put me in the hospital, and for over 2 years, I could barely walk. And deer carry ticks. Let's kill them all. Open hunting season. Beavers cost me over $50,000 in land repair. Let's kill them, too. I was a private collector of Japanese koi. This year, $25,000 damage due to a mink. Let's kill the mink. You know, it goes on and on. Rabies, raccoons. Let's kill the raccoons. I love birds of prey. I released many of them over my property. I watch them come down and get the rabbits. I love rabbits. You know, what do we do? Do we kill the birds of prey? Oh, yes, I know that they're protected. But again, it's sort of part of the life chain. And to say that they're not native, who cares? What difference does it make? They're here. We brought them here, and we're responsible for doing something to responsibly put it under control. The coyotes, the same thing. I mean, they kill wildlife. Everyone wants to say the cats kill wildlife. Wildlife kills wildlife. Where do we start? Where do we end? What do we kill? What do we allow to live? You know, and I support this law. Like I said, I know firsthand it works. 14,000 cats is not a small number, all right? And I also personally provide shelter. I send caretakers out. We cover the five boroughs. Every Monday, Tuesday, I have 8 vets on rotation. You know, it's about getting together. We also get grant money. It's about getting together, working together to find a solution. And death is not a solution. I mean, none of us are God.
Please wrap up your comments.
So I just think that I would love to see this law supported and see us help these animals.
Thank you. Carrie Chapman, followed by Sarah Wenk.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you for this chance to speak. I'm just wondering how many of the people who stood up tonight and proposed that this law does not get approved are out on the streets doing something about the problem. I know a small army of people who are rescuers who are out there on the streets picking up after this problem from other people's irresponsibility, helping people who are compassionate, who have populations of animals in their yard, in their farms that other people dumped there. And the rescuers are going there and they're getting them spayed and neutered. They're getting rabies vaccines, distemper vaccines, parasite treatment. Many of these people, I've helped hundreds of them personally, would not let me on their property to help them if they thought I was going to euthanize them all. So this, you know, is a consideration. And a lot of us are doing this work completely volunteer for free with very little support until the county recently gave us the grant to help us get the feral cats spayed and neutered. We had no support from towns, county, state, and some of the rescue organizations would just fundraise the money themselves. So a lot of us rescuers are putting hundreds of hours of time in. And, you know, the situation is not the fault of the rescuers. We're out there actually doing something about it. This is, you know, people who do TNR are not creating the feral populations that are out there. They're the ones out on the street doing something about it. And we rescue kittens, and I tame adult ferals, and I rescue stray cats that have been lost or abandoned, and I rehome them all. And the ones that we can't possibly rehome, If I can get them a home in a barn and get them partly tamed, I will even do that. Most rescuers don't have the time and energy to do that. And honestly, I don't either, but I do it anyway. And
please wrap up your comments.
Okay. You know, the real situation with the disappearance of the birds and the animals on this planet is from human causation, primarily. Climate
your time
change.
Is up.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay.
Sarah Wink. The last speaker signed up is Rebecca Diamond.
Good evening. I strongly oppose Local Law Number 9 of 2018, proposed by County Legislator Laura Pettit. The proposed law seeks to legitimize the systematic abandonment of cats by using an unproven and ineffective program to trap, neuter, and return cats to their original capture sites. TNR violates the Agricultural Market Law, Section 374, Subdivision 5, that prevents the release of animals once in custody of a shelter or animal control officer. TNR does not reduce feral cat populations. In fact, the establishment and maintenance of cat colonies only attracts other cats. Under the proposed law, once feral, unadoptable, and unclaimed cats are trapped, neutered, and vaccinated, they are to be returned to the location in which they were trapped. In most cases, these animals live in locations where they lead harsh and traumatic lives. They are hit by cars, attacked by predators, infested with ticks and fleas, infected with diseases from fighting with other cats and wildlife, suffer painful urinary blockage, especially males, experience complications related to frostbite, and receive no medical attention. These animals are not physically equipped to live outdoors in upstate New York and fend for themselves. Not only would Local Law Number 9 of 2018 violate a state law and consequently increase the feral cat population in Ulster County, but it would infringe upon people's property rights. Private residents and business owners would not be able to permanently remove feral and unadoptable cats from their properties, which would ultimately pose health and safety risks. Instances of human exposure to rabies and toxoplasmosis, as well as the spread of other diseases, such as ringworm, hookworm,
feline
stemper, Bartonella, coccidia, and cat scratch fever, would only increase. Based on what is known about the effectiveness of TNR and the related health and safety concerns, I respectfully urge you to oppose Local Law Number 9 of 2018. Thank you very much.
That's the last speaker signed up. Legislator Litz. All in favor? Opposed? Public hearing is adjourned.